Welcome to the ABC Solutions podcast. My name is Shannon Hansen, and in this episode, I will be speaking with Shantae Sanford. We will be taking an honest look at the obstacles you have gone through trying to get back into the workforce. First, I would like to begin by asking you to describe yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and your journey up until this point.
Well, I am 40 years old. I am a mother of five. I recently got married in August, my first marriage and hopefully my only.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I was born and raised in upstate New York, Binghamton, and I was raised by my grandparents. My mom had a disability herself, which was pretty severe. She was also addicted to drugs, so she didn't raise me and my two sisters. We were raised by my grandparents. They were pretty old-fashioned, so what parents usually kind of teach their kids about everyday life and, you know, growing up and how to start to manage on your own, I didn't really get from my parents. I pretty much kind of got from my surroundings, you know, kind of picking up as I went along. But other than that, I basically ran a normal childhood. I started running into some issues when I became a teenager, and that's when I was diagnosed with mental disability, which is known as bipolar disorder. This was also one of the disorders that my mother had, and I've seen how it kind of took over her life. She's never really had a job. She struggled a lot. She had to have people help pay her bills and manage her money, and seeing that kind of discouraged me a little bit when I found out that I was diagnosed with that. So I kind of seen myself in a certain class and kind of let society put me in a certain class where, you know, you're disabled, I can only do so much, I can only go so far. So, you know, that's kind of where I was leading my life, and I wasn't really sure where to go. I did graduate high school. However, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do after high school because I still really didn't know myself. I was medicated a lot, too, so that kind of numbed a lot of my emotions and feelings. And at a certain point, though, after high school, you know, I started realizing I didn't like to live that way. I wanted to be more. I wanted to not be in that class of disability, you know, people seeing me as, you know, having, you know, an issue or a problem, or that I can only go so far. So I started to want to learn more about myself, more about my disability, more of how I can handle it and control it, and even possibly if I can control it and handle it without medication. So working with my doctors and my psychiatrist very closely, I got to learn all of that and even eventually managed without medication. Through my journey, it was an up and down journey. I struggled a lot trying to work. I did realize that I had an interest in teaching kids. So I started out working with kids, going to daycare. At that time, I had a child of my own. I was a single mother at the time, so it was very hard juggling it all. I lived not too far from my grandparents, so they helped me out a lot. But I lost a lot of good jobs doing it. Trying to manage and getting to manage my disability was very hard. So, you know, I did have a lot of episodes while at a lot of these jobs, so I did lose them because of that. Which was very unfortunate for me because they were very good jobs. I did later on decide to try to change my career and decided to go into the medical career. I just thought it would be more promising with today's society. You know, you can't really go wrong with medical. So I moved on to that, and I became really good at that. I found a good career in DME, but I also found out changing my careers was a big struggle as well, because not only am I dealing with my everyday life situations, you're still dealing with everyday work environment, which is, you know, how do you go about trying to find a job in the career of your choice after you've graduated? You're new, you have no experience. A lot of people don't want to take you on right away. They want to, you know, give you, how do I explain that? They want experience. They want at least a year or two, but that's something you don't necessarily get fresh out of school. So
that's so true.
I was finding it very hard. It took me over a year after graduating in the medical career to find a job, and I actually happened to find it because the lady that hired me through the DME company actually happened to go to the same school I did, and she said, you know, she understood the struggle of getting into the work field straight out of school, and, you know, kind of leaned on that a little bit and hired me and gave me a chance. And she didn't regret it at all, because I did very good at the position. And I thought I was doing excellent. You know, that was the first time that I was able to start weaning off of my disability to the point where they even stopped the disability. I was able to manage my money good enough and keep up with my bills and payments and, you know, all that. So, you know, it was hard, but it was good. One of the other things that I had to worry about too was with having a kid, you have to worry about childcare as well. So, you know, my managing all that was a big struggle for me. Later on, I did meet my now husband, and we started growing and learning things together. We decided to start new. After my grandparents passed away a couple years ago, we decided to start new and fresh and decided to move down south here in North Carolina. And it was a complete new beginning for me. In the new environment, I decided to move away from my family, my support system, all of that, and start new with my husband and our new family that we started. It didn't turn out as well as I expected. I was transferring with my job with the VAME company, who, after transferring down here, the company closed down, so I was left jobless again. And then my husband ended up losing his job as well, so we both ended up jobless. It was our first week down here, and I was a complete wreck, and I kind of just let my emotions, everything just kind of take over, and I fell apart. Around also that time, I found I was pregnant with my now 3-year-old child. So that was, you know, all that mixed into one kind of threw me off balance, took me downhill, and I felt like I was back at square one again.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and I didn't even have my support system around me, so which made it even harder. So realizing all that, you know, it took me a while, but I finally had to learn to pick myself back up and said, you know what, I can do it. I did it once before. I just got to try to build a system around me again. I got to try to get that back, what I had when I was in New York. So first thing I wanted to do was start with finding doctors again that could help me figure out what I need to put in step in line with my life again. So I found a wonderful, you know, psychiatrist and a psychologist again, and they helped me, you know, build things up. And I decided not to go back to work right away. I decided to stay home with my child and raise him while my husband found the work. He went to work. So I pretty much slowly started building up. When my son turned about 2 years old, I decided to try to get back into the workfield again. But I didn't want to start out really big. I didn't want to feel like I was going to be pressured into, you know, slamming right back in full time, and then having to also worry about the issue with daycare again as well, and not having the support system around me that I used to have. So I decided to start looking in some areas around me that wasn't too far, where I can kind of, you know, pick my own hours and things like that. So I live by a local Walmart. Decided to do that. I decided to start with a third shift position, which was completely new for me. I decided to do that mostly because of the fact of I didn't want to have to worry about the daycare issue at this time. So it was something that it was mostly to try to see how I do getting back into the work field without having to worry about all the other issues too. So, you know, the third shift position worked out good for me. So I did that, but it was a different type of work for me. So it was more labor work, where I was more used to office type work, because in the medical field, I chose to go in administrative when I did medical. So there I was doing a lot of heavy lifting, boxes, things like that, stock work, you know. So it was different for me. I was able to manage it, but I wasn't used to the labor work. So at Walmart, they're strong on helping people get promoted and see their potential there, which I was very grateful that they had there. And they'd support you if you did want to move up. So it was a matter of taking a test, seeing where I was at mentally and physically, and how much I knew about the store and whether or not I can get a higher position. So I took the test and passed it with flying colors. And at that point, the test was good for a couple of years, and I can choose any type of middle management position that I wanted to try to go for. And a couple months after I went for a position, I was granted an opportunity to go for it. One of the managers came up to me saying I was interested in position, seeing how good of a worker I was, and asked me if I was interested in it. I told her I was. I did let her know, however, because this is the first time I was ever doing retail in my life, that I had no experience. She wanted me to do a customer service, which I thought was excellent because I loved, throughout the years in my career, one thing that I realized I loved was working with customers. So I decided that was an excellent opportunity. However, there's a lot of skills that come with that, learning the cash register, learning the money center, you know, managing, yeah, you know, a bunch of people under you at one time. So, you know, I let her know I didn't have any of that type of experience or leadership type of experience or anything, and she decided she still wanted to take a chance on me and said, you know, I see the potential in you, and I feel that you can do it. If you have any troubles along the way, come to me, and I will help you and guide you along the way, which I thought was phenomenal. It is. I've been in this position for a couple of months now, outside of having to adjust with, you know, the hours that I'm awake and sleep now. The position itself was wonderful. You know, there are some challenging spots, but, you know, I don't be afraid to ask questions about anything that I need to do or need to learn or don't understand. And, you know, I get the guidance that I need. And at this point, I feel like I can grow more. So that's where I'm at today. And I don't regret any of my mistakes I've made. I've learned from them. And I'm just hoping to prosper from here.
That's awesome. That's really good. It's always really nice feeling when somebody like puts in a lot of trust in you and has a lot of hope for you, and they're like, hey, you can do this, and they try to really lift you up. That's a really great feeling.
It is, definitely, especially when you feel like, you know, all the work that I'm doing is being noticed, you know, it's not just being ignored, you know. So, yes, it's a great feeling.
Is this where you originally saw yourself, I guess, at? It seems like you've had a few career changes. Along each way, did you kind of anticipate that you would have those career changes, or was it just more going with the flow of things?
I didn't. You know, when I first started out doing teaching, I knew when I was a kid that I always wanted to be a teacher. That's something that I felt strongly about. And so, you know, when I graduated and decided to, I started working at a daycare, and working at the daycare, I was also given a lot of good advice and, you know, good morale while I was at the daycare. You know, that was another person that, you know, decided to take a good chance on me. I started taking my son to the daycare, and to see how good I was with the kids, and she actually approached me and said, you know, would you like a job here, you know? And I didn't even see myself, you know, working there. I knew I wanted to be a teacher, but, you know, I didn't know how to even go about starting it. So when she gave me a chance to work there, I was excited about that. I worked there for a while, and they gave me opportunities to take classes and courses there while I was, you know, teaching at the daycare to get accredited. And I was able to go on further, and I started doing substitute work at the elementary schools due to that. And I enjoyed it a lot, you know. But again, I wasn't sure exactly where I was going. So, you know, and my disability at that time, and trying to manage my disability, kind of took a lot of that away from me, because that was one of the positions that, you know, with my episodes, I lost, you know, and I didn't think that I could get back into it. So instead of trying to jump back into the teaching and, you know, giving it another chance, I kind of just moved away from it and decided, you know, what else would I like to do? You know, nothing was kind of set in stone, and I was still at the time figuring out what I wanted to do. So I kind of was dipping my hands in a little bit of everything during that time. So, you know, I switched over to medical, and when I jumped into the retail, I actually had the intention of going back to medical. I just was kind of jumping into something lightly to try to see how, you know, I would be feeling and going about working again. So, you know, that kind of just happened. I didn't actually see myself trying to go anywhere at Walmart. I was actually looking at it as a temporary solution, but now that I'm here, you know, I don't regret it at all. Not at all. So, and I'm in treatment yet.
That's awesome. So I guess the other kind of question I would like to ask is, what kind of tips or advice would you give to employment seekers out there?
My advice pretty much would be to stick with it. Don't get discouraged. Don't let your disability define you. You can be a lot more than, you know, what your disability is telling you that you have to expect or have to, you know, go with. It's manageable, you know, I can't speak for every disability, but I would say that there's a way to work around feeling like you have a normal life regardless of what type of disability that you have, you know, especially if you don't let it define you. You know, and kind of believe in yourself, you know, set goals for yourself. You know, you might not reach every goal that you set, but set goals that are within reach, I would say. Start small and, you know, have your short-term goals, have your long-term goals, and have a good support system. That's always good to have, you know. Trying to be a loner doesn't really work out a whole lot. It's good to have a support system, to have people that are there to bring you up and give you good morale and things like that. So, you know, that would be my advice for everyone is, you know, don't give up, you know, just keep at it, keep sticking to it, and things will work out, you know.
Yeah, that's good advice, really good advice. I completely agree. Having just people there rooting for you really makes a difference. And having people you can lean on, it's really just a good feeling.
It is. It is, definitely.
Okay, so I guess one more question before we go. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, in 5 years, I see myself still growing, I tell you that. There's still a lot more that I need to learn in life. But, you know, I didn't even see myself 5 years ago living out of a different state, living out of my hometown. I've never traveled outside of my hometown. And here I am living a whole new life in a whole new city and a whole new state. And I'm enjoying it, you know. So, you know, nothing's, you know, outside of your reach. But in 5 years, you know, my next goal at this point is to own my own house. You know, that's always been a dream of mine. And, things are happening a little later in life than, you know, how I guess they would say the normal path should go. But, you know, it's going at my pace. And that's what's most important for me. You know, I do things at my pace and I do things with the way it's more comfortable for me. And I'm achieving them, you know, however long it may take me, I'm achieving them. So I definitely see myself having my own home. I definitely see myself living in a comfortable place, being financially stable, and, you know, watching my kids grow and start their own family and their own beginnings. So
that's a really good way to see yourself in 5 years. Yeah, it's really hopeful and inspiring hearing you say that about working at your own pace. I think there's a lot of late bloomers out there, and I wouldn't even say late bloomers, it's just late discoverers. I consider myself one of them, and it's nice hearing somebody else say that too. It really is.
I mean, because everybody thinks that it's supposed to go, you know, in a set way. You know, this year you're supposed to do this, by this year you're supposed to have that, by that year you're supposed to have that. And that's not necessarily how everybody, you know, life goes. A lot of people can't even figure out what they want in life until the later years, and don't even figure out who they are until the later years, you know. So, and then you change over time. So, you know, things definitely change, and the way things are supposed to go changes. And so, you know, it's how you want it to go, basically, you know, and how you want it to be able to achieve it and get to that goal, you know, what's more comfortable for you. Because if you're trying to do things the way everyone else wants you to do them, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to fail because it's the way that they want it set, and it might not be that comfortable for you. How you need to do it.
Yeah, because I'll be turning 36 in May, but you think that by this age, you've pretty much should have, like, everything, like the house, the kids, the cars, the perfect job, and it doesn't really necessarily turn out that way. And then sometimes, I don't know if it's just me, but there's a lot of media out there that's like, hey, we're early 20-somethings, and we've already got our lives, you know, laid out for ourselves. It's like, wow, so not like that.
Right.
I just think that's really inspirational hearing you say that. It's really comforting. So thank you.
Thank you. Like I said, it's still an everyday struggle, you know. And I still, my disease, my disorder that I'm dealing with now is not something that, you know, I have down pat. You know, I'm still dealing with new emotions that emerge every day and learning how to deal with them. And, you know, so it's an everyday struggle still, but, you know, I'm managing, you know. And I'm taking it one step at a time, and that's the most important thing. And that's how everyone else should take it, you know, one step at a time. I'm still growing every day. I'm still learning every day. And now I'm trying to be there for my kids and teach them, you know, the ways of life and how to manage with everyday life and stresses. And definitely trying to give them what it, you know, everything that I didn't have growing up, and making them aware and letting them know they can achieve anything regardless of what anyone tells them. You know, if they want to go for it, they can go for it.
That's awesome. And that's really good that you say that, because I think that's something that really needs to be passed on from parent to child, is helping them prepare for stress and the challenges that life is going to throw their way. I want to thank you for being here today and speaking with us, Shantae. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And also, I want to thank the audience for listening, and I hope you're having a wonderful day, too.